Well, this morning we're continuing in our series, a little bit of a unique series in the sense that we're not just like plowing through a book of the Bible. We're going to come back to Romans here in a couple weeks, and so we'll get back to that. But really it's kind of a vision series of saying, who are we as a church family? Where is God taking us? And specifically in this series, how do you connect and find your way as part of Wawasee Bible? And so we're looking at what we call our pathway, or your pathway here at Wawasee. So we'll still be in God's word, but it'll be a little different this morning but just wanted to give you that heads up. As we begin though, I bet that there's a number of us who probably remember October 13th, 2010. I can see it on your face. You're like, I don't remember anything from that day. What are you talking about? I'll bet you do remember when I tell you what happened that day. It was 69 days earlier on August 5th of that year at the San Jose mine in the Atacama Desert of Chile that left 33 Chilean miners trapped over 2,000 feet underground, about a half mile underground in the rubble. Search and rescue crews were scrambling at the time. They searched all over the site. They weren't sure if anybody could have possibly survived what had taken place. And quite honestly, it didn't seem very likely. They began drilling, though. They ended up boring a total of 8 holes, a half mile into the earth through the rock, hoping to find something, anything, on the other end. Well, for the first 16 days, things were bleak. But then on the 17th day, I believe it was August 22nd, so close to this time, 16 years ago. On the 8th borehole, a drill bit came back up and it had a yellow note, and written on it in blazing red ink was, "We are all well in the shelter, all 33 of us." Well, the site erupted and so did the rest of the world as news got out. And then the question became, not are they alive, but how are we going to get to them and get them out safely? Well, they devised a plan, and if you can imagine, if that was at this time in that year, it would be 52 days later before the first man reached the surface on October 13th of 2010. That's when Florencio Avalos reached the surface. He was the first of all 33 to emerge one at a time via the capsule that they lowered down and pulled back up one time for each miner. Well, if you remember seeing any of that, Florencio, when he got up, he got out of the little capsule where they were like this, and he immediately went down to the ground, kissed the earth, thank God, before he ever hugged his family. And when the last rescuer came back up after all 33 miners were out, they held up a big sign that said, "Mission accomplished." Now, that's a pretty remarkable story. Do you remember some of those things when that happened? It's also just an incredible picture of the gospel, that in our sin, we're trapped and we're stuck and we need someone else to rescue us. And God, in his mercy, sent Jesus Christ down to us under the weight of our own sin and graciously rescued us. But I would also say that I think maybe the most remarkable thing of this story wasn't the rescue. It's what happened about a year later. About a year later, at least it's more fascinating, reporters started to go back to Chile and they began interviewing some of the rescued miners. And it was a common thread that they kept hearing from them that led to headlines that were all similar in nature, one of which read, "Do the miners need a second rescue?" It turned out surviving the mine wasn't the hard part. It was adjusting to life outside of it. Marriages were strained, sleep didn't come easy, some of them couldn't hold a job any longer. They'd been rescued from death, but they didn't know how to live. They were free, but they had no idea how to live with freedom. I think a lot of us, just like it's a picture of the gospel, I think that reality is a picture a lot of times for many of us in the church. We know how to live forgiven. We don't know how to live with freedom. We know what we're saved from. We don't always know how to live for what we're saved for. Well, a lot of what we do as a church is kind of the search and rescue, right? We do, and that's not wrong. People's lives cave in on them. They find themselves stuck in these places where they feel helpless. They need to be pulled out by the grace of the gospel. And praise God, that's exactly what the gospel does. But we tend to forget that the gospel doesn't just rescue us, it also frees us and helps us live. And my fear is that I think there's a lot of people in the church, a lot of Christians, again, who know how to live forgiven, but not how to live free. To know what they're saved from, but not know how to live for what they're saved for. And so by God's grace, my hope is that our church wouldn't just be a hospital, and the church in general, but especially our church, because this is where we are, not just a hospital that rescues people, but like a health club that trains people and pours into them so they can live out who they truly are in Christ. And in fact, I think if that becomes a greater and greater priority, there'll actually be more people who end up getting rescued, because we're all living with that purpose where God has sent us, where we live, work, learn, and play. So that's a little bit of what we're gonna be talking about today as we talk about some of the steps in your pathway. Last Sunday, we said that first step is to show up and be encouraged. So way to go, you're here. I'm glad to see you. And the next step then is we're gonna talk about what it looks like to be equipped for your calling and to engage. But before we do, let's pray. And then we're gonna be in Ephesians and 1 Corinthians a little bit this morning. But let's pray together as we begin. Father, thanks for Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you didn't just save us and pull us up out of the mind and tell us good luck, but you actually saved us for good things and for good works and for things you've planned way ahead of time for us. So would you help us to live into those callings, to understand them and know them, and would you bring glory to yourself and good to our community and joy to us as we know and live those things out? Holy Spirit, help me as I teach. Help me too, especially even as I teach your word and speak to and through me, and help all of us just understand your great design and care and love for us, and also even some next steps for us as we, Jesus, seek to follow you. Pray this all in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about your pathway to kind of find your way. And again, we said that first one is to be encouraged in your faith, but it's just one of those things where this is kind of the pattern for how we want to see you connect at Wallace C. How to see you connect and thrive as part of our church family. We've said that, you know, we really have somebody who we want you to become. And we use these little icons and talk about these four roles that we all want to live into. We want to grow to be secure sons and daughters who know our identity and live it out in where God has sent us. And increasingly so. We want to be courageous connectors who have some courage to cross some barriers and connect with other people, to take some risks towards that end and be vulnerable in that way and really love people well. We want to be ready storytellers who are ready, wherever God sends us, to tell our story of what he's done in our life and his story, and just to recognize whatever God's up to in the lives of the people we interact with, and ask, what's my part today, Lord? And then to be legacy builders, to outlive ourselves. And so we wanna grow up into these four roles, right? So if that's who we want to become, we call it like our dream disciple, who God's been dreaming we would become. Our pathway that we're talking about now is, how do we get there? What are the ways we've kind of organized some things here at Wabasee to help you grow into that man and into that woman that God's destined you to become? And so I just want to cover that pathway again briefly. We talked about it more in depth last Sunday. So if you weren't here, I'd encourage you to just go back and watch last week's message online. But first, that first step is for you to be encouraged in your faith. In other words, we want you to show up each Sunday and be refueled for the week ahead. It's a retreat from the chaos of everyday life in this world. And it's an opportunity for you to show up and be encouraged. And not only for you to be encouraged, but for you to encourage other people. But that happens as we show up and rub shoulders together in real life. And so it happens on Sunday mornings. Those of you who are joining us online, I'm really glad you can. I know there's all different reasons for that, but when you're able to be here, there's something unique about rubbing shoulders together that it's we miss you. We'd love for you to be here. And I think in many ways, it's better for you. The second step, we're going to talk about this today, but it's for you to get equipped for your calling, to get equipped for it. In other words, don't just show up, but grow up into who God's uniquely made you to be. Grow up into that God-given calling. And we'll talk in depth about this morning, but there's a couple different ways for you to do that, a couple different places. One is a new cohort we're launching called Handcrafted Calling. I'll talk more about that this morning. And then also opportunities you'll hear about today where you can just be equipped and trained for life and ministry and living a lifestyle of witness and all kinds of opportunities for you. The third step, we'll also talk about this one today, is that we want you then to be encouraged in your faith, to get equipped for your calling, and then to engage at Wawasee. And if you notice, with each step on this path, it takes a little more effort on your part to make that step. To engage means I've got to make some effort toward that end. To connect in a group, it's going to cost me some more time. It might cost me some things relationally. Or to serve on a ministry team, same thing. And we're just saying, hey, pick one of those two and connect in that way, engage in that way. You might join a group like a life group or a men's ministry or women's ministry, or you might serve on a ministry team. Maybe you can do both. Great, go for it. But pick at least one. And engage somehow in the church body here. And then the fourth piece is that pathway doesn't just end with you, it actually extends through you. And we want you to go out and extend the gospel. And this isn't something necessarily that happens here on a Sunday morning. This is much more when we're asking the question, where does this happen? Well, it happens everywhere that you live, work, learn, and play. It's out there. And our goal on this step is to equip you, to train you, to cheer for you, to pray for you, to send you out, to love people and invite them to follow Jesus with you and with us. And so there's a handful of ways we'll resource you toward that end. Discovery Bible Studies, Alpha, Life to Life. We'll talk more and more about that a little bit today and more so next Sunday. But that's that path. And so if you're gonna connect and thrive at Wawasee, these are the four steps. We're all encouraged to take one. You're doing number one. Just be in here. Be encouraged in your faith. Show up. And by the way, don't just show up, but like maybe show up early, stick around afterwards, rub shoulders with some people. And it'll be awkward maybe if you haven't done that in a while. That's okay. That's good. And be encouraged and encourage others. Get equipped for your calling. We'll talk about that this morning and engaging at Wawasee in a group or on a ministry team. Then we want you to extend the gospel because we are sent to love people. But let's back into that second one and talk about getting equipped for your calling. As we start talking about calling today, you can turn if you want to Ephesians chapter 2. We're gonna be there for a little bit. But as we start talking about calling and getting equipped, wanna make sure and be really clear that this isn't so much about you like dreaming up what it is you want to do, or like trying to somehow do something that pleases and earns God's favor. This is much more about what God has already done in you, in shaping you and molding you, and discovering that and living into who he's called you to be and who he's made you to be. You know, in our culture, in Western culture, we kind of like to promote this idea that you can just become whoever you want to be. Enough grit. Enough, fill in the blank. You do it, and you can become whoever you want to be. Can I throw some cold water on that? I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. But what I do think is true is that you can become everything God has destined you to be. And you can fully become exactly the man, exactly the woman that God designed you to be and dreamt for you to be. And that's entirely on the table. And it's more fulfilling than anything else you would dream up for yourself anyway, because it's how God uniquely made you. And it all starts with his grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 with me. We're gonna read in verse 8. Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus. He goes, "For by grace, you've been saved through faith. This isn't your own doing. It's the gift of God. It's not a result of works, so that nobody can boast about it." you know, grace saved me. Grace saved you. Not my effort, not your effort, not my performance or yours. It was Jesus' effort and his performance, and it's fully a gift to you and I. That's the gospel. And what I love about this, that we've been saved, it's not my doing, it's the gift of God, it's not a result of work, so that I can't boast. It also means that when I fail, because I do, and I'm guessing you do too, I don't have to despair either. I don't get to boast about it because it's not me, but I don't have to despair because it wasn't dependent on me to begin with. And God loves me the same today as he did yesterday, as he will 100 years from now. And the same for you. Grace doesn't just save us though and leave us there. It doesn't pull us out of the mine and say, all right, here you go. You're free now. Good luck. No. Keep reading with me. Look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Right after he immediately rules out that it has any dependence on you or me, we're told God didn't just save us from something, he saved us for something. He saved us for good works that he's been preparing, that he thought about, that he dreamt about in advance for you and I, things to accomplish with our lives before we ever took a breath. You hear me keep using that language like he's been dreaming about us? Because I look at this in other places in scripture that we'll see where that's dream language. He thought about me, he thought about you before there was any of us. And when he thought about us, he not only thought of us, but he actually even prepared and imagined things for us to do with our lives, for me to do, for who I would become and you would become. Friend, I would say God was dreaming about you, and he has dreams for you that are the most fulfilling you would ever live out. To craft you by hand, you're his one of a kind design, and he was dreaming and thinking about you ahead of time. In Jesus Christ, then you and I were remade by grace, and we were remade, made new for a specific purpose in life. Not something I have to invent from scratch, but something I get to discover of who he's made me to be. And not just from something, but for it. And so understanding your calling and getting equipped for your calling then begins with discovering who you really are, who God made you to be, who God says you are. To discover your calling. You know, that's what's so amazing to me. I've already said it, but if you can tell, this gets me fired up. Like, even before, if you talk about discovering your calling, even before I know what to look for when it comes to my calling, God had already written it all out. He'd been thinking about it and dreaming about it. He planned out and handcrafted who he chose you and I to become. In fact, back in that passage in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that word that you're his workmanship, that means it's actually the Greek word is poema. We get the word poem from it. It's like that God has this unique design and artistic idea of who you are. And he was thinking about it from the very beginning. Your gifts, your strengths, your abilities, your personality. God didn't make a mistake on you, friend. And he loves those things about you and longs for you to live those out for his glory and others' good and your joy. In fact, when David was considering God's design of him, here's what he wrote back in Psalm 139. He's praying to God, he's writing to him, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. And in your book were written every one of them the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them." There were none of them. Now, are our days though also tainted by our sin? And there's some really hard things? Yeah. But God's design and plan from the beginning has been to redeem those things through Christ and to give you joy and courage as you move forward. The good works of Ephesians 2:10, they weren't handed out after the fact. It was like, this was God's plan from the beginning. He was going to overcome even the things that go wrong because of sin. And he was dreaming about them. They were all in mind before we ever had any being. Now, it's probably just worth stopping here for a second and going, maybe answering some objections. Maybe you feel this even a little bit. Like, Josh, that feels pretty self-centered. Like, you're talking a lot about you, talking a lot about me. Well, you know what? It can be if it's all about you. If the only end game is your joy, your fulfillment, whatever else, then yeah, it's super self-centered. But if you understand that this isn't about you, and it's not about me, it's about who God created you to be and what he created you to do and who he created you to become and his plans for you, not your plans, then suddenly all of that is shaped around the gospel. And it brings glory to Jesus and good to others. And you know what? It actually brings some joy to you and me too. And that's by God's good design. My hope for you and for everyone at Wawasee is that you'd get equipped for your God-given calling and you'd recognize that the one who began a good work in you is still working and he will complete it on the day of Christ Jesus. And the work he does in you is going to be unique from the work he does in me to the person to your left or right. And that's all his good design. So to help you toward that end, one of the ways that you can get equipped is a new cohort that we're starting. And this is going to continue to happen. It's a 6-week cohort called Handcrafted Calling. It comes from that idea of Ephesians 2:10, that you're his workmanship. You're handcrafted by God for unique works that he's prepared for you. It's a 6-session cohort, so it's limited in how many people can do it at a time. But it'll help you just to discern, uncover, articulate, and begin, even give you some steps to begin living out that calling in your everyday life where you live, work, learn, and play. And I think without having some clarity on who God created us to be, we're kind of left with this vague sense of the value that God intended us to bring. And I think the more of us that can understand that and live that out, the more good God brings to our community and the more that he impacts the world around us as we truly live out and pursue those good works he created us for, created you for. Someone asked me about this. They said, so is this like a spiritual gifts thing? The answer is no. In fact, we don't even dive into spiritual gifts in this cohort. This is, I would say, bigger than that. It's greater than your gifting. It's your calling of who God created you to be, and your gifts help you accomplish some of those things. So if you're interested, I encourage you to sign up and to do so sooner than later because there is a limit on how many, but it starts October 1st. There'll be another one coming in January, another one after that, and it'll just continue as kind of on a cycle here at Wawasee. So get equipped for your calling. Don't just show up, grow up into who God created you to be, but then also we want you to get equipped and trained for life and for ministry, for those places where God sends you with that calling. You know, Ephesians, it's really one of my favorite books in the New Testament, in part because of how clear it is and how it divides up. I kind of like order, and it's really well ordered. Like, if you think about the gospel starts with Jesus gives you a brand new identity. He tells you who you are now in him because of his work on the cross for you. And then he gives you activity to go live it out. You're saved, and now you're a Christian. Now go live like one. Ephesians follows that exact pattern. The first 3 chapters are all about who you are in Christ. The last 3 chapters are all about how then you should now live and I should live. And so when we think about that in life and ministry, let's flip forward to chapter 4 and some of these pieces of how to live. Look specifically with me at verse 11. See, Paul discloses not only that God has a plan for us back in chapter 2, but even how he's gonna get us ready for all of those good works he's prepared us for. Look at verse 11. And he, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. And if we stop right there, you'd think, to do ministry. I mean, that's why we got a church staff, right? That's why we got pastors, to do it all. To do ministry for us. And Josh, we will cheer you on. We're so excited for that. But keep reading. Look what it says. Yeah, we're called to do ministry, so don't hear that. I'm not saying that, but That ministry is to equip the saints, in other words, all the believers, for the work of ministry. It's not just for the leaders to do all the work of ministry. It's for all of us to do all the work of ministry. It's for the saints, for each one of us. But to do it, that's gonna take some training. Do you feel inadequate at times thinking that God has plans for you and things he'd love for you to accomplish and dreaming for you, and or you know, like, yeah, I wanna serve, I wanna be involved, but I don't know how. You're in good company. And if that's you, and you need to know that our goal then is to help you and train you towards that end, to do like Paul did with Timothy when he told him, hey, what you've heard from me, Tim, entrust it to faithful men who will teach it to other men, who will teach it to others. So there's like four generations there, from Paul to Timothy to the next guy to the guy after him. And we want to do the same thing here and train you. So just, we're really practical today. Here's some ways for you to get trained and get equipped than to live out that calling. First is AIM, which is leadership and ministry cohort. Call it a cohort because it's more than just a class. It's not like just this download of information. It's actually, you're kind of doing life together for about 10 weeks and learning these things and living them out together and praying together. But here's some of the things you'll be trained for if you'd sign up for AIM. And knowing God, his character and his ways, knowing who you are in Christ, and knowing how God works and how people change, knowing the Bible's purpose of transformation, that it's not mere information, understanding healthy relationships and conflict resolution, learning how to do ministry, the principles of Christian leadership, being a disciple and making disciples. And this is open for anybody. If you're interested in being trained this way and getting equipped, there's a class starting in September. You can be part of that. There'll probably be another one in the spring. But you can sign up for that even right now, this morning, through the Church Center app or out in the commons, and would love for you to be a part of that, men and women, anybody. Another way to get equipped is in Life to Life. This is a new opportunity that'll be launching this fall. And this is to help you and I learn to live a lifestyle of witness. It's delivered in a small group format. So a lot of times people who do this may say, I can't do a life group then this fall. That's okay. But during this time, if you remember a couple years ago, we partnered with a group called Evangelism Shift, and there was about 40 or 50 of us over the course of a year that we did training on how to live a lifestyle of witness. A number of you were part of that. This is that same thing, but boiled down into a life group, into a small group format. And so maybe you were part of eShift. You're like, I'd kind of like to get a refresher. Great, sign up. Maybe you heard about it and you couldn't do it at that time. Well, great, sign up. And it is some of the most helpful training in just how to live out your faith and share your faith and be a part of what God's doing in other people's lives without being and feeling weird. You know what I'm talking about? I think I said this last week too, like not a good weird, but just weird weird. And just in a natural way to recognize, hey God, you're at work in this person's life and my friend and my family. How do I get to be a part of that today? And this will help train you toward that end. So consider that as well. Another one, you can just learn more about our church. You can get equipped by learning more about Wawasee Bible. And we have Discovery Class coming up again on September 3rd. Great opportunity to connect and learn. And if you would ever choose to become, to pursue church membership, that's your first step, is to go to Discovery Class. We offer that about 3 or 4 times a year. So there's 4 different ways for you to get equipped. There's more than that, but there's 4 right away. The next step after getting equipped for your calling is to make the effort to engage. To make the effort to engage. Well, we want you to be encouraged in your faith. We want you to get equipped for your God-given calling. And then we want you to consider engaging at Wawasee in a couple possible ways, to either connect in a group or connect on a service on a ministry team. Now, if you want to, you could do both. That's great, do it. But pick one. Like find one where you could engage in some way, shape, or form and connect in that way. If you got your Bible, flip backwards a few pages to 1 Corinthians, specifically 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul here is writing to the church, and he's just writing about the fact that everybody who calls that church home is part of that body. And for you, if you call Wawasee home, you're part of the body here. You're uniquely gifted, you're uniquely called, but you're part of something bigger than you. And here's what Paul writes. He compares the church to a body. He says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one, so it is with Christ, so it is with the church." That when you become a follower of Jesus and you're adopted into his family and you connect at a local church like Wawasee Bible, like you're part of the family. And you're unique from the person you're sitting next to or three rows in front or in behind you or people at the other service. But all of us together make up that body. And in the church in Corinth, for whatever reason, they were just divided, whether it was, I don't know, by race or by class or background. But Paul's saying, like, all of that got erased when you came to faith in Jesus. Now, you stayed you. You were different than the next person. But all of those things that formerly divided, no, actually, God's uniquely woven you as part of a body to be part of a group together and part of a family. And that's true here, too. And as you connect at Wawasee, you're not just attending something, you're actually connected to something. You're part of a family, something bigger. And if you're in Christ, you're part of that body, part of the family. I don't know about your like biological family, but I can tell you about mine. For my extended family, when there's health, it's usually because there's engagement. And when things go haywire, a lot of times one of the symptoms of that is like just people drawing apart. And so for there to be health in our family as a church, it's gonna take some engagement and it's gonna take some effort on your part. And sometimes it's really hard, sometimes it's easy, but in the end it's always good. And so if you notice too, each step along this pathway, maybe I said this already, but it requires a little more effort on your part. Well, when it comes to engaging, it's gonna take some more effort on your part to sacrifice some more time to engage and connect in a group, to engage and give up time to serve in a ministry. It takes some effort, but it's worth it. And so there's two possible ways we talked about in a group or on a ministry team, and as part of a group, to really find your people, What's curious is if you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul starts using this analogy of the different body parts, he goes through this whole thing where he's just talking, he spends like five verses talking about parts that feel like they don't belong. And he's like, that's simply not true. You're different and you 100% belong. He's like, picture the foot listening to the hand get all the attention, deciding the foot doesn't count. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Same with the ear standing next to the eye. Paul's answer isn't sympathy. He doesn't say, oh, I'm so sorry that that's who you are. It's like, no, it's actually really good that's who you are, and you make the whole body better because of who you are. And what we need is for you to engage and be part of the body. In fact, he goes on and he says that God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, in the way that he chose. Friend, I don't think that the fact that you're here and that you've connected in some way, shape, or form at our church is an accident. I don't. I think that's God's kindness and goodness and sovereignty and all of that. And my challenge to you then is embrace that and engage. Engage in a group or on a ministry team. Because like Solomon, the second wisest guy next to Jesus to ever live, he said, The two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift the other up. Or friend, they love at all times. We all need friends. And I believe as you make the effort, especially when you engage in a group or on a ministry team, that's where you start to find those friends. So first, let's talk about a group. Engage in a group. There's a handful of different groups you can engage with at Wawasee. Not get engaged to, but just engage with, right? I don't know, maybe that'll happen for you too. Who knows if you're not married. But first, a great one is a life group. You know, each week people from Wawasee Bible, they meet in small groups in various homes. Some meet here on campus at the church. Some meet every week, some meet every other week. Some meet for the summer, some don't meet for the summer. But it's a great opportunity and together, they get together. Everyone's a little different, But as a general rule, they pray together, they study God's word together. A lot of times they eat together and laugh together. Sometimes they do other stuff together, and they just do life together. And it takes some time and some effort to build those relationships. So at first it might feel really weird. And even at first you might realize, I don't know, after a couple months, you know what? This probably isn't the best connecting group for me, so maybe I'm gonna try another group. Great. But find a group and connect or engage in that way. You can sign up for a life group right now. They're organizing for the fall. You can do that right inside the app or stop out at the Connect desk on your way out. Find Pastor Dave. He'll get you hooked up. Another opportunity to consider is Forge, which is our ministry to men. Forge meets just about every month in different ways, sometimes for breakfast, sometimes different events, sometimes retreat. And the first event for Forge for men is just a breakfast this year in September, on September 12th. And would love for you to come and join us. A lot of times at those breakfasts, we have breakfast, which is always good. And then one of the guys will share a little bit of their story. I mean, you just get to hear about their story of what God's been doing in their life and ask some questions and talk and pray with one another. Pretty low commitment, but a great opportunity to engage and connect. Similarly, Thrive for women. So ladies, there's a similar group for you called Thrive. And the first Thrive event this year is coming up 2 weeks from yesterday on August 29th. They're doing a campfire out back. There's a fire pit out back, and they're gonna be out there 6:30 to 8. But any of those, you can learn more. Did you notice, by the way, the menu of QR codes in your handout this morning? Those are all just for you to have an easy way to learn some more information or connect with somebody who can get you more info. I know it's obnoxious, I get it, but at least you noticed it. And now you know where you can go and try to find some more info. Another one, students, we've got a place for you too in our student ministries. So speaking specifically here of middle school and high school students, they kick off things tonight. So Ignite is our middle school ministry. Salt Co. is our high school ministry, and both of them start tonight for the school year from 6 to 8 here at church. I think Ignite comes through the main doors, Salt Company High School, you guys come in down through the very end on the east end of the building, but they take off tonight. So there's some groups you could connect with and engage with. Or, depending on your season of life, whatever's going on, maybe you could engage on a ministry team. Again, you can do both, but pick at least one. As part of Christ's body, we need each other. We need the gifts that you bring to the table. And you need the gifts everybody else brings and those relationships. Again, Paul's all over this in 1 Corinthians, right? He's like, I can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, that the head to the feet, I have no need of you. In fact, the parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. There's a place for you to serve on a ministry team, and it might be up front in front of people, and that might terrify you. So you need to know there's even more behind the scenes where you can just serve and love and care for people. And those honestly are some of the most important. They're the most valuable. That's what Paul says. God so composed the body, giving greater honor, to the part that lacked it, that there's no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. That's what a ministry team's for. There's a place for you to engage in that way if you'd like to. For all of us to contribute and to serve. In fact, you know, Jesus himself, the one we worship, that's exactly what he did. He's like, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. And encourage you to consider the same for you. And when you engage on a ministry team, all of us benefit, not because you're spectacular, although I'm sure you are, and I know you all are, but because that's just God's design, and it's good, and we're family. Because if one member suffers, they all suffer together, but if one's honored, we all rejoice together. So consider engaging on a ministry team. And you might be like, okay, well, where at? I'm glad you asked. There's a whole bunch of options. I just listed what I could fit on the slide. You could engage on our connections team, in our kids ministry. There's always needs in our kids ministry. Our facility team, audio, video, lighting, the prayer team, music, live stream, security, outreach, events, missions, office help, student ministry. You're like, I don't see my thing up there. Well, good, let us know about it. If you go fill out that form, there's actually a spot where, what other ideas do you have? And let's do it. And let's talk. But consider engaging on a ministry team. So there you go. We want you to be encouraged in your faith, and we want you as you connect to get equipped for your calling and then to make that effort to engage. We can kind of imagine as we wrap up here, the application today is pretty simple, pretty straightforward, right? One, get equipped for your calling. Consider somewhere where you can get equipped and trained. Maybe it's handcrafted. Maybe you're like, I can't do that right now. Well, maybe it's AIM or Life to Life or just coming to discovery class. There's gonna be other things that come up too that we're working on that'll come up throughout the year. We'll tell you about. Maybe you just need to engage somewhere. You know, engage in a group. There's people in the commons today at the Connect Desk who'll talk to you about a life group. Come find me, come find Pastor Dave, and over the next few weeks, you're gonna keep hearing this, and there's opportunities for you to connect in that way and engage. Or maybe through Forge or Thrive or student ministry. Maybe you need to engage by saying, hey, you know what? I could serve on a ministry team. I can help in kids ministry. I can help wash windows. I can help mow the lawn. What's a way you could serve on a team? And find some way to engage. Sound good? Hey, let me pray. And then we're gonna sing and call it a morning. Father, thanks for Jesus. And Jesus, thanks that you didn't just save us from something, but you saved us for something. So I pray for myself and for my friends, Lord, help each of us just to know and understand that calling you've put on our lives. Help us to articulate it and to discover it and to live into it with joy and for your glory and others' good. And help us to make the effort to get equipped then to serve through in ministry throughout our lives, everywhere you send us. To make the effort to engage, whether that's in a group or on a ministry team, but to thrive in that way. And Father, I pray too, as each one, as they take some of those steps and those risks, I pray you'd bless their effort and you'd multiply it in their lives and that you'd continue to grow us into the people you've destined us to be here at Wawasee for your glory, others' good, and our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.